When I arrived at Urban Tree Cidery off of Howell Mill Road and along the future Beltline corridor in the industrial West Midtown area of Atlanta, it was the day before opening. Staff were busy prepping behind the bar, discussing the flavor profiles of cider, and practicing their pours. The owners of the cidery met me in the tasting room.
Hi, I'm Tim Rizzuta. I am the cider maker and the orchard manager.
Maria Rizzuta, I'm Tim's wife. I am, I guess you could say, the project manager here at Urban Tree. With the exception of the cider making, brought everything here to life.
After introductions, it was time for a walk around the building. From the outside, the nondescript two-story brick warehouse still looks like it could serve the same industrial purpose as some of the neighboring businesses. And because cider is made on site, in some ways it still does.
We had looked around Atlanta for about 15 to 16 months, trying to find the ideal location for the urban cidery setting. We looked at properties over in Castleberry Hill. We were down off Collier Road. We almost committed to a space on Collier Road, but it just wasn't the Midtown vibe that we were looking for. This is a space that we had come across before, but it was marketed as retail. Came back, revisited the space again. We were able to work out a good relationship with the building owner, George Rohrig from Cartel Properties. He thought our idea was interesting and really wanted something in this space, in this complex, that was interesting to add to his portfolio. So we came to an agreement, and that's how we ended up in this space. The building was built in 1968. It was primarily used for wholesale manufacturing as a warehouse. Other than that, we haven't been able to find too much history on the space. There was a company called Cobb & Lester that occupied the space during the 90s, and they were also a manufacturing wholesale warehouse. And then since then, there's been other retail establishments that have come through the space. We have Lamp Arts currently occupying, as well as Ewing, Drapes & Moore, and now Urban Tree Cidery.
But before they had a building to make cider in, their journey into the business started in a similar way to that of a lot of brewmasters and winemakers, enjoying the drink and making it in the basement.
We've traveled a lot. We spend a lot of time out in Napa and Sonoma annually, and really enjoy wine. So in coming up, and Tim, as you know, is a dentist during the day, he's been looking for something to do as more of a passion project. We had always thought, well, maybe we would move out to Napa, out to California, and start a small winery, but geographically with children, we thought maybe that, you know, the possibility of that happening would never come to light. We were all, you know, we've always had cider, love cider, big cider drinkers, and one day, just over coffee in the morning, he said to me, hey, I have an idea. How about instead of making wine, how about if we try to make cider? And that was 4 years ago. And he did that. And there was a lot of research, a tremendous amount of research that went into, and a lot of travel and a lot of tasting. We were everywhere. We were Washington, Oregon, Virginia, you know, trying cider everywhere. We went out to England and just really enjoyed it. He started making it and he did a good job. Small batches out of our basement, and then we decided to take the idea to a bigger scale.
Now, if you follow the craft beer scene in Georgia, you might be wondering why Urban Tree can make their product on site and sell it directly to patrons. When it comes to visiting a brewery, the only way to go home with beer is to pay for a ticket that includes complimentary beer, and even then, the amount is limited. Cider, on the other hand, falls under Georgia's Farm Winery Law, passed in 1981. This law was meant to bolster the wine industry in Georgia by allowing producers to have tasting rooms at their vineyards and sell directly to the consumer instead of using a distributor. The catch? 40% of the juice must be sourced from fruit growing in the state, and the owners must be engaged in the production of that fruit. When Tim and Maria's lawyer found out they had an orchard, it was music to his ears.
He was happier than we were at the time. It was kind of crazy. I have a feeling he's going to be using this whole model as sort of a spearhead in hopefully changing the craft beer laws in the state of Georgia. He's a huge craft beer advocate and really wants change.
While these laws make it convenient for the cidery to sell its product, that's not the reason Tim chose to go with cider instead of beer.
Because I don't know anything about making beer. Because I love cider. It's a great product. It's kind of simple in the way that it's made. It's very much like a white wine, and I truly don't know anything about how to make beer.
Plus, Tim sees it as a product that appeals to the palate of both wine and beer drinkers.
Cider is really the in-between product. It's a little bit different than beer. It's not quite wine. alcohol content is very similar to beer. You can drink more cider than you could wine, so it's more refreshing, it's lighter. Beer drinkers, I think, will tend to migrate to the barrel-aged or the hopped, the dry-hopped varieties. Wine drinkers may gravitate towards the semi-sweet, the crisp and refreshing varieties that we have. So it's sort of the alternative beverage when you don't want a heavy wine and you just don't want any more beer, or it's an alternative for gluten-free beverages as well.
And so Urban Tree offers five ciders right now. They're original, classic, barrel-aged, hopped, and habanero ginger. Each type with a different taste thanks to variations in yeast, blending, and aging all taking place in the cidery. Tim took me to a set of photos on the wall that show the process from orchard to fermentation tank to tap.
So it all really starts at the orchard. About 2 hours north of us, we have 15 acres of apple trees. In the wintertime, we'll trim trees and cut trees back. There's spring bloom. As the small apples mature, sometimes it has to be pruned. Small apples have to be pruned to allow for better growth of the healthier apples. We harvest, press, and we get a fresh juice. Then we move fresh juice to our fermentation tanks. We have two fermentation tanks right now, always running. And fermentation of apple juice is really quite simple. It's fresh apple juice, yeast, and then nutrients as the process continues. So once the base cider is finished, we then move it out to storage. We move it into aging vessels over there. We move it into aging barrels, and we start blending after that. So once we blend and back sweeten with some of our ciders, we'll move it into a forced carbonation tank and we'll carbonate, keg, and bottle. And that's the process.
In the spirit of keeping things local, Urban Tree also has a full bar featuring other libations made in Georgia that they're using to perfect cider-based mixed drinks.
We were able to bring in all of the Georgia spirits and create some really amazing cocktails using those spirits with our cider, and depending on the flavor profile of that particular spirit, which one of our ciders it paired well with the best. We're using 1821, which is also a local Atlanta product, for bitters and shrubs and syrups. And we've created about six wonderful cocktails. They're all named after different areas of the city. You know, we have the Berkeley Park and the Old Fourth Ward, and, you know, to represent those areas, and some really amazing cider cocktails.
And even though Urban Tree Cidery is Atlanta's first, Tim hopes it doesn't remain the only one.
One of our goals is to have an event offering other local Georgia and North Carolina ciders, because cider is a very small community that needs to support each other for the growth and to raise public awareness. So hopefully that'll be an event that you'll see soon.
For WABE and City Lights, I'm Kevin Rinker.